let's get into some car talk. Our good friend Tom Appel is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. We have lots of car stuff to talk about and to answer your questions and texts right now at 312-981-7200. And let's welcome Tom Appel to the show. Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I am well, thank you.
Good. We're going to talk about your road trip in a little bit.
Okay.
The last time we talked to you, you were preparing to go. I think you were like 2 days away from leaving or something like that.
I was, yeah. I was packing.
Yeah. And you went, how long were you gone?
We were gone for exactly a week.
Okay. We'll get into it later.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later because you have an American Travelogue piece that you wrote. But Dan also just got back from a short road trip. He was gone for 4 days and drove to Buffalo. And Dan, you once again, it was a 2015 Ford Focus that you got?
Ford Escape.
Ford Focus. Yeah, it was a Ford Focus for the family.
Right.
Because, you know, you really wanted to upgrade to a bigger car.
Right.
So you went to a Ford Focus.
Right, three adults and a baby.
Oh, I'm an idiot. Okay. All right, Tom, the Escape?
The Escape, or was it an Explorer? Because you mentioned a third row.
I might have been an Explorer then. I thought it was an Escape. I thought that's what the receipt said, but I was pretty tired. So
yeah, the Explorer's got the third row. That's sort of a very American vehicle. It's kind of large, kind of roomy. It's got some substance to it. Nice vehicle.
Yeah, no, we had a great time with it, and my wife, knowing that we were going to be on the road for about 17 hours in total between the two trips, upgraded and went with the deluxe package. So we had the leather and the remote start and the, you know, navigation system built into the console and the air conditioner on your butt.
That's nice. An important feature, the air conditioner on your butt.
Yes. You can, you know, many cars these days have seat warmers,
right?
But not many cars have the air conditioning.
Wow.
Coolers.
Very
I guess.
Cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Once you have the vented seats, you don't go back.
Is that right, Tom?
Yeah. I love them.
Yeah. If I drove, I'd love them too. Because anything that cools me off, I'm happy about.
Yep.
Oh, God. This summer is just endless. Hey, by the way, Consumer Guide Automotive, tell everybody about it as we do once a month, Tom.
Yeah, Consumer Guide Automotive. We've been around since 1967. I can only claim to have been there since 2002. But we are a full service all the time car review site at consumerguide.com. We try to have some fun with the news and look at cars a little bit deeper than we do at the CG Daily Drive blog.
All right. And you can check that out. By the way, you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. All right. Text and call in any and all automotive related questions. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Before we break, Tom.
Yeah.
What are you driving right now?
I am driving the Cadillac XT5. That is a replacement for Cadillac's midsize SRX crossover. Kind of big. More leather than I've ever seen in one place. I'm surprised by how much I'm not enjoying driving it, but how much I'm enjoying sitting in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, beautiful cabin, not very interesting dynamically.
Mm, okay. All right. All right. Well, listen, Tom, hang on, okay?
Will do.
Come back. We got some car-related news stories to talk about. We've got some stuff that Tom wrote for the CG Daily Drive blog, and we'll also talk about the road trip that he just came back from for a full week on the road, and we'll get all the details on that and answer any and all of your automotive related questions. The phone lines and text lines are open. 312-981-7200. Okay. Hi, good morning, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Studios on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower overlooking beautiful Michigan Avenue. Here till 5 a.m., Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5, and the one, the only, the awesome Steve Cochran at 6 for your morning drive. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200. Tom Appel is my guest, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, and he joins us once a month to talk car issues, car news, and to answer any and all of your automotive questions. 312-981-7200. Tom, welcome back.
Thanks.
All right. So let's start out with this, the Takata inflators story. It just keeps getting worse for the Takata Corporation, correct?
Yeah, this company can, I don't know to what extent it deserves a break, but it certainly can't catch a break. But this is an interesting story. It was a truckload of completed inflators plus some accelerant used to to inflate the inflators, what actually ignites in the inflators when they set off the airbag, were traveling by truck from Texas, where they had a storage facility, to their Mexican assembly plant, and the truck crashed and blew up. It wiped out a truck full of inflators. The explosion actually killed residents in a small Texas town. I think one woman's dead. I believe the driver may have died, and several local people also were injured.
Wow.
It's almost like piling on.
Now, we'll tell everybody the reason why this is just adding to the problems that Takata's having. People might not know.
Yeah, by now, it should be 100 million recalls.
Jeez.
Globally, which is just a stunning amount of cars. That's like 4 years of global production of vehicles being recalled for faulty inflators. It's an amazing story, and it never seems to end.
And what is the fault with the inflators?
What's happening is that the inflator itself, there's a propellant that's ignited, it explodes, and that's what inflates the bag and prevents you from moving forward into the steering wheel or the windshield.
Mm-hmm.
And when it works very well. The problem is that there's a metal housing around the propellant that's designed to sort of blunt the blow and prevent things from happening too quickly. This is decaying in some airbags, and instead of being pushed out of the way after the explosion, subsequent to the explosion, it's shattering. And because it's shattering, bits of metal are flying out with the airbag, piercing the airbag and landing in people.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And how many injuries and have there been deaths caused by this?
Yeah, lots of injuries, and depending on how the count is kept right now, it's 11 or 14 deaths.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's actually happening. It's certainly happening because of these inflators. This isn't overkill. These things do need to be recalled.
Yeah, they need to be recalled, obviously, but now they can't even be transported, Tom?
Well, this may be a one-off situation. We don't know why the truck crashed.
Right.
And presumably the explosion was a result of the crash and not because of something having to do with the inflators themselves.
Mm, okay. Now, they're maintaining, Takata, in the article that I read, is maintaining that they're still forecasting a profit through March. I mean, how can they do that?
That's very strange. It's optimistic bookkeeping. But as it turns out, most manufacturers have not yet charged back their costs related to the recall to Takata. So I guess in some strange way, they're still selling new airbags to manufacturers with a different inflator system, presumably, and they're making money on those.
Wow. What kind of cars come with Takata?
Almost everything.
Really?
Yeah. One of the companies that it seems like not too many General Motors and not too many Fiat Chryslers, but a lot of Fords and a lot of Asian makes.
Okay. So the developing, obviously the story is developing, but I'm assuming lawsuits are going to be coming out from this as well, this story?
Yeah, that it'll be endless. Yeah, there'll be a lot of that. There'll be lawsuits from the public, there'll be lawsuits from dealers, lawsuits from manufacturers. Yeah, it's going to be a mess.
Is this the worst inflated airbag recall story ever?
Almost certainly.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have there been some in the past that stand out?
Yeah, there were very early in the history of the airbag, there were situations where the airbags were deploying too powerfully.
Right.
And there may or may not have been a few deaths associated with that. So there was a lot of lawsuits with that. And there was a lot of concern that people weren't going to appreciate the value of the lawsuit because this had happened early. Or not of the lawsuit, I'm sorry, but of the airbag. But lower power airbags eventually replaced those, and the airbags caught on, and obviously now they're in everything. But I remember in the early days, there was just a lot of skepticism.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's try and lighten this up a little bit. We've talked about recalls, everywhere, and we just mentioned them in that related story. Talking about the VW scandal, but Herb Weissbaum, our good friend Herb Weissbaum, who is our consumer guy who joins us once a month, wrote a piece about after all this time with these recalls, now Americans are satisfied with their cars. Did you get to see this?
I did get to see that. Yeah, it's an interesting story. In sort of brief summary, according to one research study, consumers are now more than 80% happy with their new cars. And this is the first time it's ever broken that number. And it's a 4% improvement over last year. And that's a very interesting number because it has to do with initial quality, price, which is interesting because they're very expensive the way they're equipped now. But additionally, this means that consumers are overcoming a lot of the media interface systems that are so confusing, and they're getting past that. So, yeah, cars are probably as good from the factory as they've ever been.
And were there certain, you know, the piece that that this is about, satisfaction in how many categories? You mentioned price. Is quality of the product, you know, one of the things that people are satisfied with as well?
Yeah, I'm not as familiar with this study as I am with J.D. Power's initial quality, the IQS study.
Okay.
But yeah, it's price, it's quality, it's delivery. I believe there's dealership experience is also part of this.
And so does this reflect that people are satisfied with their cars, but has the purchasing of cars gone up at all?
The purchasing of cars has probably become less complicated, or at least a little bit less combative than it used to be, simply because the internet's the great equalizer. People now have a much better handle on what they need to price, what they should pay, what the dealer needs to get. So fewer people feel like they're getting ripped off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that has a huge impact on how you feel when you leave a dealership.
Okay. And, you know, I mentioned briefly VW. What's going on with VW? Has there been any updates on what's going on with them and all the trouble they've been having over the past couple of years?
Yeah, and I actually put something up on Consumer Guide, or I'm sorry, on the CG Daily Drive last week or the week before. But the amount of money that people are going to be getting for their vehicles has been determined. So if you're going to sell your vehicle back to Volkswagen, which they need you to do because they have to get 85% of these fixed in about 24 months, that amount of money has been determined. What hasn't been determined yet is if you want to keep your car, what the fix is. There is an amount of money stated for what they'll give you if you want to have it fixed by Volkswagen, but that fix has not been approved yet by the U.S. government and may never be approved. So that might not be one of the options. But we should know all this within a week or two.
Within a week. And you said that does it vary? I mean, obviously the money varies between vehicles.
It does, but essentially people are getting $5,000 to $6,000 for their trouble.
That's the average?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Boy, and VW, boy, oh boy, I mean, how much is it, you know, what are they looking at in terms of lost revenue?
The U.S., just the, I think it might be the North American cost of this, is about $10 billion.
Man.
And that does not include an independent lawsuit, and there almost certainly will be a class action.
Right. Okay.
So they're still facing that.
Okay. All right, Tom, hold on a second, okay?
Will do.
Tom Appel is with us. We got a break for news. We got some texts coming in. Calls and texts that are anything automotive related. Tom is here to answer any and all of your questions. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Tom is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, and we'll come back, talk more car stuff with Tom after we break for the news, which is next. Good morning, everybody. How are you? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m., coming up after 3 o'clock, we are going to begin our tribute to the great Gene Wilder, who passed away yesterday at the age of 83. And we'll talk about his career. We'll play some audio from some of his best movies and some memorable stuff from that, some interviews and things like that, and some great music. This is a huge, huge loss, and we'll share our memories and our favorite movies and our favorite Gene Wilder moments and stories. And that's coming up after 3 o'clock, a full tribute to Gene Wilder coming up after 3. And we would love you to join us with your thoughts and your favorite moments and your favorite Gene Wilder movies at 312-981-7200. That's after 3 o'clock. Right now, we're talking with our good friend Tom Appel, who is the publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. He is here to talk car-related news stories and answer any of your questions, talk or text at 312-981-7200. We welcome Tom back to the show. Welcome back, Tom.
Thank you.
Okay. We have a few texts coming in before we get back to more of the news.
Okay.
309 area code says, are Honda CR-Vs good vehicles to own?
Oh, they're great vehicles to own. I like the CR-V a lot. It doesn't own the segment for refinement, but it's just a really good overall package. If you're looking at one of those, I recommend looking at the Hyundai Tucson and the Toyota RAV4 as well.
Okay. 847 area code says, thinking about purchasing a Mazda CX-5. What are your thoughts, pros and cons? Thanks.
That is the exact same category as the CR-V we were just talking about. That's a very nice vehicle. Backseat room isn't the best, but fuel economy is great, and it's probably the sportiest of the compact crossovers.
Okay, great. Bob has a question. 312-981-7200, talk and text. Here's Bob on WGN. Hey, Bob.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, about leasing cars, When you turn it in after 3 years, what about all those nasty little dents you get in parking lots from other people swinging their doors? I mean, how much of that are we responsible for? Okay.
Yeah, that's a great question. That's what's called wear and tear, and typically there's a certain amount of wear and tear that's deemed acceptable. So at 12,000, 24,000, or 36,000 when you turn it in, there is a certain amount of that. It's very subjective, and you are free to argue that point. You don't hear too much about people being burned for that as much as you used to, and that's because dealers really want to encourage people to lease these days. Because it just makes vehicles more affordable. But, yeah, you can run into a situation where you may have ripped the interior. The interior might be worn or dirty. You might have a couple of scratches on the bumpers. And you might be asked to pay for that in the form of a loss of some of your deductible.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, Bob, take care. All right, 312-981-7200, talk and text, 312-981-7200. Okay, Tom, we got a couple of technology stories here, you know, that are both like, it's the future. A couple, what we'll get to in a little bit, Ford is going to go driverless. And yeah. But the first one is these Audi vehicles that are going to communicate with traffic signals. This is fascinating, and they call this technology V2I.
V2I, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just recently heard about V2V, which is vehicle-to-vehicle. And Mercedes-Benz is one of the first vehicles to have anything like that, and that's on the new 2016 Mercedes-Benz E-Class, their midsize car. Unfortunately, the only other vehicles that have it are E-Class, so right now they're just talking to each other.
Right.
V2I is a complementary technology where, and this is the first time this is happening, the car is talking to some infrastructure, which I believe is a necessary component for true driverless environments. Right now, the only thing in the infrastructure, more or less universally, state to state, city to city, is traffic lights. And we've seen that where there's emergency equipment coming, and all of a sudden the light changes and the white light flashes on top, and that's a function of that radio control. To what extent Audis can communicate with those is not really certain at this point. And to make this work, they need the permission of the municipalities. So there's a lot of work to do with this, but we're seeing the technology being set up. So every time we hear about a story like this, we're getting a little bit closer to a true autonomous environment.
And it's interesting because I read this article about what happens inside the car. And what happens when you approach an intersection or you approach a traffic light or while you're actually, in fact, waiting at a stoplight.
Yeah, it's interesting because in some situations it'll know how long it is before the light goes yellow or red, mm-hmm. which is super useful if you're driving towards a light.
And so, and like these warnings pop up on your dash, like a countdown kind of a thing,
right?
To let you know when the light is going to change or how much time you have.
Yeah, that's very cool. Yeah. Now, what we're going to have to see too is a lot of these lights in small towns, they're not set up for this. So right now, this would only communicate with lights that have the full communication system.
Yeah, and what are we looking at in terms of when this is going to be? I mean, it says in the article that they're going to try to roll this out to 5 to 7 U.S. cities this year, but they haven't named the cities yet.
Right. Yeah, because they have to have the cooperation of the municipality.
Right.
So this probably will just be a test on a few owner cars that people would agree to do this. They won't have to pay for it probably, and we'll see how it goes. But again, yeah, this is one of those things that we probably need to do. Additionally, more of the lights probably need to be set up with this technology to make it work.
And it will be a select number of 2017 Q7 and A4 models.
Right. So that's their big crossover and mid-star compact car.
Okay. Boy, that's interesting. Boy, the technology in cars nowadays, Tom, I mean, it never ceases to amaze me. Seriously.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. It used to be just a gas pedal, an engine, and a brake, but yeah. we've moved on from that.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we'll keep an eye on that for Audi vehicles. Now, the other one is Ford going driverless. And I don't know, I don't know about you, Tom, but I mean, I'm assuming you've seen Total Recall.
I have.
Yes, and there's a taxi in Total Recall. That Arnold gets into the back of the taxi, and it's like this robot taxi driver guy. Hey, where to? And he's got the weird sort of robot head, but that's like a driverless car, but they just put the automatic like robot guy in there. I have to say this, in this piece that they wrote about How would you feel like if you got into a cab and there was no driver? I would actually feel safer if I had the fake robot dude sitting just to have someone in the car. Just getting in with no, you know, with no one in the front seat and having a driverless car would kind of freak me out. So I think I need the fake guy in front.
Now, didn't that guy have the voice of John Cleese? I might be wrong.
It might have been John Cleese. I know it was somebody. I can't remember who it was, but you're right. It was a celebrity. In fact, it might have been John Cleese. We'll find out. But then his head blows up because Arnold rips his head off. And, you know, because Arnold has to kill everything and everybody in that movie.
Yes, he does, and it's a shame. I would feel better about a car that sounded like John Cleese.
That would make me feel a little bit better. Cause
it soothed my nerves.
Yeah. So what do you think about this driverless stuff that Ford's going with?
Yeah, Ford is talking about having fully autonomous vehicles on road by 2021, which is interesting for a couple of reasons. One, it's an acceleration of their original plan. And two, I've been saying forever that this is going to take much longer than that. And here you have Ford committing to 4 or 5 years from now. So that's fascinating. Now, we still don't know what a full definition of real autonomous is.
Right.
And having a vehicle that can do it doesn't mean that the government allows it, the laws will approve it, and insurance companies will let you do it. But we'll see where that takes us.
Okay. We're looking at that road to the future, driverless cars. it just seems really strange. And we were talking a few months ago about the flying cars, Tom.
Which was
another thing that we should have had by now, according to Blade Runner.
And then the cover of every popular science before 1950.
By the way, it was Robert Picardo who provided the voice of the taxi driver.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, Robert Picardo. He's been in a ton of movies, most of the Joe Dante films been in. He's a very funny guy and a really good actor. A couple of texts here coming in. At 312-981-7200. We got the phone lines open. The text lines open for any and all automotive car-related questions. 312-981-7200. 219 area code says, how can I find out if my car has a recall? I have a 2011 Fusion, and I'm now worried about the airbags.
Yes, safercar.gov. That's the government's website. If you enter your VIN, any outstanding recalls that apply to your vehicle will come up.
Okay. Safercar.gov.
Yep.
Okay, so that everybody should mark that down in case they're ever wondering, you know, in the future or is my car on there? When you go to it, you type in the kind of car you have.
Yep.
Okay. There you go. Safercar.gov. All right, and the 773 air code says, what is your opinion of the Jeep Renegade?
The Jeep Renegade. I like the Renegade actually. That's their new little SUV, subcompact crossover, and it's kind of a lot of fun. Trying to think. My primary complaint about that vehicle is the 9-speed automatic transmission can be a little cranky with a turbocharged 1.4-liter engine, but I test drive the car, see if that works for you. If it doesn't bother you, you're probably going to like that car a lot. Good on mileage, great use of space, and fantastic in the snow if you get the good all-wheel drive system.
Okay. All right. Another story that I wanted to get to, New Jersey could ban drivers from eating and drinking behind the wheel. Now, eating and drinking behind the wheel has been going on for, you know, forever. But, you know, distractions while driving because of cell phones and because of Pokemon Go and other things, texting primarily, has really come to the forefront. Like being a distracted driver has really come to the forefront. And New Jersey's trying to clamp down on this.
They are, and it doesn't sound like they're especially serious about the food and drink, but they really want people to think hard about this. And there was a surprising number. I wrote the number down. I don't have it in front of me, but it was almost 250 traffic deaths in New Jersey this year alone, which is a surprisingly high number, given the state doesn't have that much highway relative to other states. I completely understand the concern. I don't think they'll ever get people to stop drinking coffee in the morning.
Yeah. Every car comes standard with cup holders, and that's been the case for decades.
It does. And the McDonald's, Starbucks lobby alone will block this legislation.
Yeah, there's no question about it. But, I mean, I've seen people – we've talked about it on the show before, Tom, where, you know, because I have a lot of people who drive – who listen to the show for business and truck drivers and things like that who listen. And I've opened up the phone line several times, Tom, and done some really, really fun and weird and scary and entertaining segments about what people have seen people doing while they're driving.
Yeah, and I keep track of this on my drive, too. And I want to say that the average light, typically both people on either side of me are looking at their phones at the light. Hopefully they're putting them down when they move on, but even that's illegal.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it, too. I see it all the time, you know. It's kind of scary. But I can't tell you the number of times, you know, when I was driving, Tom, where I'd go through the drive-thru and then shovel a quarter pounder down my throat while I was driving down the street. I mean, that was just a that was just common.
Yeah, I never don't have a large drink in my hand. It's just a rule.
Well, it is. I mean, the texting thing, though, has really got a, you know, it is pretty scary, I think.
Yeah, it's absolutely dangerous.
It is very, very dangerous. So, all right, well, New Jersey, we'll see how far they get. Now, they don't know what was the cause of those fatalities, do they? They're not saying it's because of distracted driving, are they?
They're just saying that the number is high and something's contributing to it. But no, they haven't broken it down.
Okay. All right. Okay, Tom, hang on, all right?
Will do.
We are going to take a break. When we come back, we've got a couple more texts and another news story. And then we got to get to Tom's road trip that he took this summer, a full week on the road. And we'll get all the details on that and more right here on 720 WG. And again, you can follow Tom at car_guy_Tom. car_guy_Tom. Morning, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate studio on the 7th floor of the Trib Tower here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich with the opening bell at 5 and the great Steve Cochran at 6 a.m. Coming up after 3 o'clock, we will begin our tribute to the great Gene Wilder, who passed away yesterday at the age of 83. And we will jump into our tribute. We're going to play clips from his movies, and we're going to talk about our favorite memories, your favorite memories and movies from the great Gene Wilder and more. That's all coming up after 3 o'clock. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. Tom Appel is our guest from the Consumer Guide Automotive. You can follow him on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. That's car_guy_Tom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, we have Dan on the line. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, I've been listening, and the automated cars fascinate me, but I wonder what his thoughts were on the automated semis that are out there now. They have them running across the desert in Las Vegas. I happen to be driving one right now that's just short of that. It doesn't steer on its own, but if you get close to a line towards the right or towards the left, an alarm will go off inside the truck. It also has a radar in the front that can read how fast the cars are going in front of you. And if you happen to get too close, it applies the brakes on its own. You don't have to touch a thing.
Wow.
I've had it for a month, and it's weird to get used to.
Yeah, I would imagine. But, I mean, I bet that helps, you know, because we've all heard stories about truckers who are out there driving for 50 hours straight.
Yeah.
And, you know, and hit that zone where you start to fall asleep at the wheel. To have those kind of things in the car, in the truck, to help you, you know, maybe not fall asleep. Tom, what do you know about these semis?
Yeah, that's the exact same technology we're seeing in cars right now. In fact, the Cadillac that I'm driving at the moment has lane keep assist, which keeps you in the lane. It has obstacle detection. It has adaptive cruise control, so it won't let me get too close to things in the front. And I'm kind of surprised that these technologies weren't developed for trucks first, because earlier technologies were. Anti-lock brakes, for example, were actually on semis before they were on passenger vehicles. But this seems to be development at the same time. To me, it makes more sense to put them on trunks simply because you have the greater vehicle miles. And potentially a truck out of control is a more dangerous thing than a car out of control.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right. What do you think of it, Dan? You think it's weird, but do you like it?
I do like it. The only thing is that it will catch you by surprise. I mean, if you happen to rely on it and you're not really paying attention, it will wake you up in a hurry because, you know, you're not expecting, you know, you're driving an 80,000-pound truck.
Right.
It's 65 feet long, and all of a sudden it decides to hit the brakes. And, you know, that's if a car comes out, if a deer jumps out in front of you. I mean, there's some tweaking, I think, that still needs to be done, but I think it's a good idea.
Okay. All right, Dan, hey, thank you for the call, sir.
Well, no problem.
And be safe. 312-981-7200. All right, Tom, you recently went on an old school family road trip, and you talk about it, you wrote a piece about it, but you start out the piece in the summer of 1974.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that. You started there, and then you just went on a trip with the family.
Yeah, 74. My parents took my sister and I on a trip with our Coleman camper and our 70 Nova, which didn't have air conditioning and had a black vinyl interior, which was perfect for the summer.
God.
But we drove down to St. Louis because that's where you want to be in the summer.
right.
But an amazing thing happened on that trip. And we went to Six Flags, whatever the St. Louis version of that is called.
Right.
And afterwards, we're at a place called the Safari Campground. And I remember my whole family were in the pool at the Safari Campground when one of the kids' mothers comes down to the pool. We're all involved in some giant multifamily game of Marco Polo, which is what you do in a pool at a campground.
That's right.
It's like a rule,
right?
And one of the mothers of one of the kids comes down to the pool, and she brings a radio with her, and everyone hushes as she turns the radio up really loud. And I don't know what's going on yet, but my dad gets very grim and serious, and kind of moves over to the side of the pool. And I realize later that was Nixon resigning.
Of course, 1974. That's when it happened.
Yeah, I have no vacation memory stronger than that one.
That's it. Well, what tell me about the vacation you just got back from, Tom. How was it?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. My wife and daughter were great travel companions. But we went from Chicago to Denver. We have some family out in Denver. And thank you, FCA, Fiat Chrysler Corporation, for lending us the use of the new Chrysler Pacifica, which is their brand-new minivan, which was perfect for this trip. And it turned out to be a great trip for the vehicle, or a great vehicle for the trip. But we drove through Iowa, through Nebraska to get there, and lots of driving, just kind of old school, stopping at hotels, stopping at places.
Right.
Loved the trip so much. And one of my favorite things about the trip was I worked with a guy named Damon Bell. He's one of our editors who has a thing for the Twin Bing, which is this crazy candy bar you can only get in Iowa and Nebraska.
Wait, what's it called?
The Twin Bing.
The Twin Bing.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And we had to stop and get them.
Okay. What makes them so special?
Well, I can't stand them. That's the interesting part. But I found their major competitor, the Cherry Mash, which I love. But they're really weird, and they're the same thing. They're about the size of a chunky bar.
Yeah.
The round masses and the exterior, the coating, the hard part, is ground nut, ground peanuts, and chocolate, and it's filled with a cherry interior. That's the Bing part. Yeah, it's a little weird. And the King Bing is just a little bit too salty and a little flavorless, but the cherry mash is a little tartar.
Okay.
With maraschino cherry in the middle.
Okay.
I kind of dug that one. So apparently this is just something Iowans are into.
Okay.
Some in Iowa, some in Nebraska, but you got to go to truck stops. That's the thing.
Yeah. Now you recorded a bunch of this stuff, and you wrote a whole piece about it. When was the last time you were on a road trip, Tom?
We haven't been on a serious road trip ever. We never took one that was a full week. We've taken a lot of long weekend vacations. So, yeah, it's since my parents took me on a trip, I really haven't tried.
That was it. So since Nixon resigned.
Yep. Basically, yeah.
You know, we went on a road trip in 1972. My dad's Gran Torino.
Excellent.
No air conditioning again. And we went to Florida because that's what, again, Tom, you know, in the middle of summer, that's where you want to go. But we went because it was the year that Disney World opened. So we drove down there with me and my aunt and my two cousins, and we drove down there, my dad and mom and my mom. And I remember sleeping on the floor under the dashboard. I was so small. I was sleeping on the floor under the dashboard of the Torino.
Yeah, my sister and I used to divide up the back seat, and she would sleep in the footwell, and I would sleep across the seat. <It's>
Amazing. I remember it being a really great time, though. I mean, but no air conditioning, and it was hot as hell. That's crazy. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you had a great time, Tom. Welcome back.
Thank you.
And, again, publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive, and you can check out their Daily Drive blog, and you can follow Tom on Twitter at car_guy_Tom. Always a great pleasure, Tom, and we will talk to you next month.
I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, my friend. Take care. Tom Appel, everybody, Consumer Guide Automotive. We'll take a break. We got the news next.